bankrupt. We want that land. Now that's, you know, that sometimes happens. Sometimes corporations do go broke. But I think in fairness, it should be said, none of the corporations have gone broke yet. Yeah. Somebody had a...
If corporations do go broke and the creditors come in and take the corporation's land, you say, that would be the land that's conveyed to the corporations, not to the people.
Well, that means that, for instance, Mr. Hamilton's native allotment, mm-hmm. he would keep it. But the land that's held by the corporation could be taken.
Like my allotment wouldn't
have. No. Your allotments are safe. They're okay. It's the land that's held by the native corporations that we're concerned about. Now, I was just telling Mrs. Johnson about some of the problems, and I said that some people around the state have said, look, let's turn the land. We own the corporations. We native people own the corporations, so let's have the corporations transfer the land in trust to the IRA councils or to the traditional council or in some other way to hold the land in trust for all the native people in the village or the region so that it will no longer be land that is held by the corporation and thus it cannot be taken. Now there's another provision in the law that says you can put the land into a land bank and it can't be taxed, but it would still be possible to lose the land if the corporation were to be taken over by non-natives. So I'm really here to find out what's important to you. Is it the land, subsistence, keeping the land, or is it something that isn't that important, and when 1991 comes, you'd rather sell your shares in your own village corporation and in Doyon and get the money? If somebody comes around to your village in 1991 and says, I want to buy your shares, here's some money. Well, do you want to be able to do that, or do you want to impose restrictions now so that if somebody comes around with some money in 1991, nobody can sell their shares at that time?
From Grayling Village Corporation, I'm the president. I've been sitting here listening to everybody talk about, you know, all the questions and everything. And I don't see no really set answer concerning, you know, all our problems. Excuse me. Traditional tribal governments, the government gave them the power, right? As a sovereign nation.
Well, that's certainly the history of tribal governments. They are they still possess the sovereignty that native people had before the Europeans ever came, though that sovereignty is very much diminished now. But it's the argument is that it's still there.
And that's already up in court, isn't it?
Well, that's the Supreme Court of the United States has said that tribal governments, traditional councils, IRA councils have certain powers because they are the sovereign governments that native people established for themselves long ago. And they say now Congress has taken a lot of their sovereign powers away from them, but they still have some left. And that's the way the courts look at it in a broad way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about too, because Congress gives them the power, and Congress is ruled by the majority of the voters. So laws are always being changed continually. So I don't see IRAs and traditional counsel as the answer. And let me see. I think what's most important, you know, is our land. Once you lose your land, you don't have anything. Money comes and goes. But once you lose your land, you can't get it back. So you have to think about, you know, ways to protect it and try to protect it and don't lose it. It's really important. Seems like all your questions you had up here is questions we had before and we still have. We're concerned about 1991. You know, there's even 1971, children born after 71. They don't have any kind of participation or anything. It's like Grayling issued a dividend the other day, and my kids asked me, where's my money? You know, how come only you get it? And I can't really answer, you know, I can't say how come I got it and they don't. I'm concerned about it. Maybe I'll have more questions later. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ms. McClain. Would you like to sit over here?
Yeah, I have one question about lawsuits. I have one. I say, unfortunately, sometime maybe I'd go in debt. And my creditors want his money, which he's entitled to. What means have I got to protect my allotment?
Well, you're allowed.
He'll take me to court and, you know.
Well, if you go into debt, your allotment is safe under federal law. If a corporation goes into debt, can't pay its debts, then a corporation's land could be taken. Okay. That's the difference.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
The argument that some people make about the IRAs is that if you turn the corporation lands over to the IRAs, then it is as safe as an allotment. They can't take it away from you. Mr. McClain makes the point that, well, Congress could still change the law someday and make IRA lands subject to takeover. That's true, that could happen, but the IRAs in the lower 48 are all protected as far as their land is concerned. It can't be taxed, can't be taken for bad debts, and if Congress were to try to change that law, they'd have to change it for all the native people in America, which might be hard to do. Mr. Nikolai, I meant. Anyway, later on, Mr. Nikolai, you might tell me a little more about how your corporation is doing at Grayling, because if they paid a dividend, that they must be doing well. A lot of corporations aren't paying dividends, and.
I'm sorry, I had one more question.
Yeah, it's quite all right. Yeah, you and I are doing all the talking, so.
Well, we're interested, you know, the people came from the villages here, and we're interested in knowing. I just got to thinking about IRA's role in this land issue. I can see the protection there. But my question was, can smaller corporations, I refer to as individual corporations, even though the regional corporation don't go IRA, can we, as a small corporation, go IRA?
Yeah, if you can go IRA in your own village, mm-hmm. if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't depend on whether the region goes IRA or not.
Okay. I see. I just want to know if we had that option.
Now, I should tell you that the Secretary of the Interior has said that he may not be willing to let local village corporations go IRA, but that's only a matter of policy. That's what he said when he was here with the President and the Pope in April. I still want to know what your feelings are, because I suppose that if all the villages in Alaska decided to go IRA, that Secretary of the Interior would have to accept those conveyances in trust.
Well, that's still to be decided yet.
Yeah, well, a lot of things still to be decided.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
While we were talking about native allotments, I guess I missed out on everything. I didn't get a native allotment. I heard about it, and I was living in Anchorage then. And by then, when I did try to sign up, well, they said it was closed. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people, too, that never got a native allotment.
Oh, the great majority missed out on native allotments.
Mm-hmm.
And those are closed now.
They never would be open.
I doubt it.
Well, I did mine the hard way. I homesteaded and had to. But I know it. I've talked to a lot of people, and they said that they didn't even know anything about the native allotment.
Yeah, I know. We found that all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't even know about it till it was over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I should say that in Southeast Alaska, a couple of corporations have actually distributed land to their shareholders for home sites in the village. They can distribute 1.5 acres to each shareholder. And a couple of corporations in Southeast Alaska have done that. But of course, those are not native allotments where you have 160 acres, usually in the bush. It's better. Thank you. Maybe some of you might tell me as the day goes on whether you agree with Mr. Nikolai, who said that he thought the land was the most important thing. He said that once you lose your land, you can't get it back. Money comes and goes, but the land is forever, and if you lose it, then it's a bigger loss than simply giving up some money. I'd be interested in knowing whether that's a feeling that you people share.
You were speaking about this land thing, and I'm interested in seeing that the people keep their land, because once they have that money, I agree with Mr. Nikolai that money doesn't last very long. And the land is there for your use, whether you have money or not, because you can go subsistent and live off the land, which our great-grandfathers has been doing in the past. That's all I have.
Thank you.
While you're still on the land issue, I'd like to add this. Supposing we lose the land one way or another, our future generation will lose their identity. They will lose their culture. They will lose their initiative because they'll have nothing to look forward to. We have to try to make every effort to maintain our lands. The solution I don't have, but hopefully as we get better organized and know where we're, their IRAs come and roll and stuff like that, it would be better to make a decision at that time.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I would like to comment on that.
Now, yeah, please come forward, sir.
My name is Mike Peters from Holocaust, and what I would like to see is people hold on to their land, because that's the only thing they'll ever have is for hunting and trapping and fishing, you know. And if people sell their land, what they'll have after they sell it, you know. And right now, that's all they do is subsistence for like fish during summertime and hunting, trap in the wintertime. And they sell that, and what will they have? And like, I've been hearing people talking all the time, like, you know, they talk, just my own personal opinion, but what, you know, of the taxes, how much will we be taxed and stuff like that?
Well, right now, the land that the native corporations hold can't be taxed if it's undeveloped.
I know, but after 1991, you know, if people do get taxed and they lose their land, just and kind of taxed, or how much will they be being taxed, you know?
Well, after 1991, the state of Alaska might impose a tax on your land. It might not. If they imposed a tax, it might be a very small tax. I don't know. The point is that after 1991, the land becomes subject to taxation, and that means that if they did impose a tax, corporations would have to raise the money to pay the tax. And if they didn't have the money to pay the tax, the state could take the land.
How will individuals like myself or anybody else have a piece of land and after 1991, we'll have to pay the tax ourselves, right? And how much will the tax be?
Well, right now, if you've got a native allotment, you don't have to pay taxes, and after 1991, you won't have to pay taxes on a native allotment. But corporations might have to pay taxes on their land after 1991. How much the tax would be, I don't know. Right now, the state doesn't impose a property tax because the state's got lots of money from Prudhoe Bay. But if in the 1990s the state didn't have so much money, they might start looking around and saying, let's tax this and let's tax that. But how much the tax would be, nobody could say.
You know, that money might run out up and now.
Excuse me.
But after, if that oil money run out in the future, people still have to pay tax and stuff like that for their land, and people would like to know what the estimate cost of the tax, you know.
Well, that's something that that nobody will know until it happens. It's like saying who's going to win the World Series. It's hard to predict.
Then another thing is my own opinion, I would like to see the people all over, to hold on to their land, because what's, just like what Mr. Nikolai stated, what's money, money comes and goes. And I would like to encourage everybody to hold on to their land and whatever they have, because that's the only thing they'll get. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peters.
How do we educate the shareholders about their not selling their land?
Well, I guess you got to talk to them. Maybe this meeting helps. Maybe people will become a little better acquainted with what these possibilities are. Maybe the corporations will be educating the shareholders. I think some of them have tried to do that. Yes, please.
I'd just like to say that Betty Johnson had a very good point, because when I was younger, I can remember, somebody in my family asking me, well, what is this, native allotment? And because of that ignorance, I don't have a native allotment. And so, Betty Johnson has a good point. Everybody should be educated. And because of the Congress, because the Congress is this ignorance and no foresight, I guess you would say, we people, are slowly losing what belongs to us. It's just like my dad, when I was real small, could go out and hunt a moose anytime he wanted to. Okay, now he's limited. And if we don't do something and quit bickering between one another, somebody's going to snatch it up from under us.
Can I have your name?
My name is Ellen Gregor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Adolph Hamilton from Shadwick.
How do you do, Senator?
I got a question. At the time when they were filling out the application for this 160 acres, I was filling out some application for my kids. And then the guy was filling it out said, no, they got to live in town, and they were in the high school. I told him, they raised her. Born and raised. They just go out to school for a little while. No, he said, they'll have to use the land in order to get their allotment. So I argued with him for a while, and my boy listened to service. So I got them 160 acres. Only way I got the 160 acres was because I had a cabin on my lot, on the land. But I don't have to have a cabin on my land in order to get mine, because everybody knew I trapped there. So I filled them out for my daughter. She moved to Anchorage, and she lived there. But, you know, you can't live in the village all the time, depending on trapping. They got to make a living. So she went to Anchorage, and as of today, we never get no answer yet, even though she filled the application when she was there.
Well, it's a lot of thousands of applications still haven't been disposed of, even though many years have gone by. Your daughter is one of many, but you got your allotment.
Yeah.
Well, you're fortunate, because a lot of people didn't even apply, didn't know about it.
Yeah. Well, I know about it, so I called the kids. They told me, you just can't do it. So that's the question I had.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Do we have coffee?
Maybe it's about 3:45. Maybe we could take a 5-minute break for coffee. There's coffee and some cookies here, and invite everybody to have a cup of coffee and a cookie, and then we'll start again in about 5 minutes. Maybe we should think about resuming. Yes. Okay.
Uh, am really ignorant, really, as far as the native land claims, and I don't know. Well, I'm just going to put this little thing in too, that, you know, we should be educating our younger generation, and because I didn't know anything about it. But I really, what I wanted to ask about 14C and how it's being distributed, like in the rest of the villages.
You mean the land be conveyed to the city? Well, it's going slowly in some regions. That is, in some places, the corporations haven't transferred the 1,200 acres to the village or to the city council. In some places, they have. What's happened here? Maybe you could tell me.
They haven't done anything yet, as far as I know.
I see.
But do they really do have to turn the 1,200 and some acres over to the city, or does the corporation takes like they want a certain spot here or a certain spot there? Do they take that before they turn it over to the city? Or corporation has first choice, or the city has first choice, or what?
No, the corporation has first choice, but then the corporation is supposed to turn over 1,200 acres to the city. Now, in some regions like Nana, the corporations have said, we're not going to turn land over to the city. In other regions, they are turning it over to the city. In still other regions, they are saying, no, we'll turn it over to the IRAs. So it's a mixed sort of a picture.
But the corporation can take this special spot that they want in the 1,200 and some acres if they want to, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, the corporation is the first choice.
Yeah. Oh.
And but then they're supposed to turn over 1,200 acres to the city so that the city really can use those to provide residential lots. The argument that some people make is that that means that the land claims land, which was a native land claim, that land, if it goes to the city, then may become residential lots for native people, non-native people. And so they say, well, how come our land claims is used for that purpose? That's the question that's arisen in a lot of places.
But see, now our corporation here is taking, you know, some land, but it's right within the city, within the 1,200 and some acres that they're supposed to turn over to the city. So that probably only 800 acres, if the, I'm just saying 800, you know, just
yeah.
So really it's not 1,200 acres that they're turning over to the city.
I see. Well, that's interesting. It seems to be different everywhere.
Oh. There's no, not one village are the same. They do whatever the corporation do, whatever they feel.
Well, everybody seems to have a different interpretation of the act.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to add something, sir?
It's one act. I was just thinking that how can you have different answers to one set of rules, one law?
Well, that's, Well, Well, it's up to the corporation and the city and the state, and it's a confusing picture when you look around the state.
Well, what if the city says, well, we want our 1,200 acres, that you don't need to get this prime spots in the town?
Yeah.
Well, then...
Well, then let's see what happens, because I'd be very interested in knowing what happens when they say that. Yes, Mr. Nicolai.
Do you have patented town sites here?
No.
You do not have patented town sites. No one has. Okay, at Graves, we have patented town
sites. Do you want to mention it here, Mr. Nicolai? Sure, we'd like to get what you say down on the...
At Grayling, we have a patented town site with, I'd say, at least 33% of the lots vacant.
Yeah.
So why should we turn 1,280 acres if there's that much available land for municipal expansion?
So you haven't turned it over?
No. But it could be less than 1,280 acres, according to different sources that we consulted with,
yeah.
If it's agreeable to both parties. Because we already have a Packney townsite, and we don't want to give them more than, you know, mm-hmm. what they need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're thinking about right now. We'll be working with that later on. Thanks.
Get up. Non-native Justice Commission?
My name is Roy Prestigard. I've lived here in Holy Cross for 3 years. These native land claims have been of real interest to me. First, I think the question was the 14C home sites that have been allotted to these people that lived on the lands in 1971. I was wondering what the other communities have done. Have they conveyed these 14C lands to the people? Are they holding back?
Well, some have conveyed the 1,280 acres, well, and others are holding back.
The 1,280 acres is in addition to the 14C lands, the lands for nonprofit organizations, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, church, airports, navigational aids, in addition to the 1,280 acres. But what I was wondering is, in your other communities, have they, has anyone asked about the 14C conveyances? Or?
Yeah, it's come up. And it came up in the very first meeting we ever had back in February, back in Mnemonic. And there, Martin Moore, who's the city manager, said, why should this land be conveyed by the Native Corporation to the city when the Native Corporation is a Native organization and the city is both Native and non-Native? The point is that if this is a Native land claim, why is the first obligation of the Native Corporation holding Native land to turn it over to the city?
Mr. Berger, that is not the first obligation. The first obligation is 14C lands. And the 14C lands are the lands that these people lived on in this community in 1971, where they had their homes, where they had their fish sites and such. And in this community, they haven't been turned over yet. I was wondering in the other communities if they've turned them over.
In some, the answer is that they have, and others they haven't. It's a very mixed picture.
Well, okay, then my next question would be why, have they given a reason why they haven't? It was one of the first parts of the transfer of the land from the federal government to the Native peoples that this would be done.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but a common one is just the whole problem of paperwork and getting the job done.
In 13 years.
Well, you see, some of the corporations still haven't received all of their land from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't received it after 13 years, so it's pretty hard to turn it over when you haven't got it to start with.
And now part of the act, I believe, reads that after the 14C lands, nonprofit lands, the airports and navigational aids and such has been conveyed, then everything else within the municipality is granted to the city as a 1,280 acres, a town site. And if that 1,280 acres, if they don't make it up in this one area, then they can go outside of the community where there's a likely area for expansion. And these other communities haven't really addressed that problem either. Is that correct?
A lot of them haven't. I haven't been everywhere by any means, but
no.
The ones I've been to, the people are still thinking about those questions.
Do they? I have a question that I've asked myself. And it's this, that if these lands were conveyed to the people, I feel that they'd be in a better position to do for themselves than what they are now.
You mean if they were conveyed to the city?
No. The 14C lands, if they had title to their own properties where they could improve them, where they're improving their own lands and their own holdings rather than improving what they're just holding by.
Yeah, you mean if they had fee simple title to their own home sites?
You're right.
Well, the 1980 amendments were designed to facilitate that in some measure, but that hasn't generally happened on a large scale.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Carolyn Dementiff, and I was born here. However, I reside in Wausau, Alaska right now. But in the first place, I never did understand this act. Neither did I ever understand the impact of what they were doing when they made this a state of Alaska. And I don't think a lot of Native people understand that still. And I think it was a much too complicated act for the Indian people or the Eskimos too. And so since they don't understand it, they resent it. And the way I always thought is that we owned the land and we needed a lot of land to live on too. It wasn't like in a city where you could just wake up in the morning and go to a job and get a paycheck and live the rest of your life in peace and happiness. But out here, you know, they have to have a lot of land because they're fishing people and they need dairy sites and all that kind of stuff. So since it is a big piece of land and there's not very many people on it and they need a lot of land to be able to survive, and there seems to be an impact of other people even buying into the land and taking over the government of the land and the fish and the air and the water. The thing that bugs me is in 1991, they're going to start buying that land away. And the way I see it, the people, the Native people, have been dying all these years. And there's no future for our kids either, or for ourselves either, for that matter. We're going to be the first ones to go. And I don't know what we do. We can't go like the other nations are all coming into the United States and even Alaska. Are we going to go away to some other nation and find, you know, good land and good water and stuff like that too, or what? You know, do we just die off now? Because we certainly can't live in the city. I mean, you know, I have, but I've never been happy there. And I see that the federal government is doing some things now that we never expected, at least like, you know, threatening to cut off Social Security and I don't know. It seems like they came and took the even so much as the oil, and we never see any revenues of it. You know, even when they took the land, I think I got $500 or $300 or something like that, and then everybody, all the other people that are not Alaska Natives, think that we're rich and all that kind of thing. And so we're not eligible for anything, not even so much as an education. Like, I myself owe the state of Alaska $3,000 now because I'm a teacher, you know, and I went to get an education and do all the stuff that the white people said are good for us, me specifically. Right now, I'm not working. And I found even that when I got a degree, and all things should have been A-OK as far as white people thinking a native, you know, has jumped the ropes and stuff, that when I didn't have a job, I couldn't even apply for extended benefits because there's such a law that says if an employee calls an employer calls an employee in an area of misconduct, that they're not eligible for extended benefits. So I didn't even have so much as a say in the in this, because their statute says that I was wrong. The employer says that I'm wrong, and I have no recourse but to say, okay, no more even so much as extended benefits. I feel like they have encroached onto our land and our lives and everything. And once you take the land away, there's nothing left. You know, we will die out as a people, even if we are the original landowners. And I totally resent the whole thing. You know, it's coming down to the wire now. I see some of those corporations, and I've heard it, there's fear all over the state in the native people that I see. Anyway, like, I don't know how you're going to resolve it, but I know that there's this resentment building up in me, and it's making me look out, you know, out to the state government and to the federal government and saying, you know, what are you guys doing? You know, and I am being more politically active, and, you know, I feel some release in that area, but I still think that ultimately, they're out to get us, and they will get us, and I don't see what we could do.